This episode of Ask Theory was made possible by the British Council Philippines. For more information on the 2024 Women in STEM Scholarships, please visit www.britishcouncil.ph/study-uk/women-in-STEM. The Ask Theory podcast shines the spotlight on Pinoy scientists from various scientific disciplines. Listen to some of the country's best scientific minds as they explain what they do in simple terms and share fascinating stories of how they got into science, the incredible things they've learned about the world around us, and so much more. So on today's episode, we have a friend that I haven't talked to in a long time. Hello, Joe. Welcome to Ask Theory.
Hello. Hello, Mikael, Kyle, yeah. And every other name in between that we used to call each other.
Itong episode na to parang medyo kwentuhan na rin. Tell us a little bit about yourself and give us a general idea or background about what you do, what your line of work is.
So, hello. My name is Joe Briones. I'm currently working in the Philippine Space Agency, or PhilSA. Right now, I'm part of the Public Relations and Information Division. So our goal really is to tell people that, yes, we do have a space agency in the Philippines. That's the biggest task that we have right now. Before being part of PhilSA, I was part of several science and technology projects. Mostly the work that I did there was, if not technical writing, if not some sort of computational modeling, basic, mostly communication. And that's how I came to become interested in science communication, because all of these projects that I worked on, from NOAA to DOST ASTI, the DATAS project, etc., they're for one, aside from their cool stuff, they have effects and benefits for, if not the entire Philippines, like certain stakeholders. So I got interested in science communication. I attempted to do that for master's, and then it became hard. So my master's, I'll talk about master's later on if the topic comes to that. That's what I've been doing. So yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you mentioned that. I suppose not just the journey of yung masters, but also maybe science communication itself. So we'll be talking a little bit about that later. But siguro yun talagang something I'd like you to start with in this conversation is yung idea of having a space agency in the Philippines. Because I've sort of like been an observer, maybe somewhat of a participant then in terms of nagbabalita tungkol sa mga bagong developments magmula nung binubuo pa lang yung Space Act and nakusap po nga si Dr. Sese and all the way to yung taking it to the finish line in terms of getting the agency up and running, but definitely we're not at the finish line in terms of what we want to accomplish with the space agency. And you know, people are generally, it's weird, eh? People, and we'll talk a little bit about this later then, people are, they have this fascination with space, pero sort of like that doesn't really translate into yung pagkaintindi natin sa kung bakit siya kailangan pag-aralan or as some people bluntly put it, bakit kailangan may tax money na mapunta sa space agency or space research. Hindi ba ginagawa na yan ng NASA? Magpapadala ba tayo ng astronaut sa space? You know, the usual questions. So you mentioned na you work as part of the PR arm of PhilSA, but what exactly do you do as part of that? Is it like, would you say it's like different from PR of like a marketing agency? And siguro the general question is, how does it feel to work at a space agency?
Okay, so yeah, I'm part of the public relations team. In some ways, it is similar to being part of a PR team of a marketing agency, because we are one of our main things that we do every not every day, but regularly, is press releases. So we contact the media, we get the word out on new developments in space or new projects, new outputs. That's one of the things that we usually do. But the difference, the main difference is we kind of have to inform people talaga on, it's more of, since it's a government agency, there's not much fluff that you can add to it. There's not much, you can't put a lot of sprinkle on it. It's a lot of it is factual, and a lot of it should be educational and informative. So, part kasi ng Philippine Space Agency na key development areas is yung space education and awareness. So the agency has six key development areas, and education, space education awareness is one of them. I think hindi lang naman yung public relations arm yung gumagawa talaga nun yung pag-inform, kasi we have like a plethora of engineers and scientists who, they go forth and multiply the good word of what space developments are currently being done here in the Philippines. It feels like a big ask somewhat, kasi we are sort of like a PR arm, but we don't really have the machinery of a PR arm, kasi we don't really get a lot of funds for advertising or yung what about like ad space, things like that. But what we do is we make do of yung mga libre na mga platforms. Like, for example, we're very, I'd like to say we're kind of big on Facebook, na tipong majority of our audience knows about our stuff through our Facebook page, if not our other social media platforms. So we really try to capitalize on free na mga platforms, kasi it's hard to compete with real estate, kumbaga, real estate online.
Yeah.
And it's also even hard with the press releases that we produce, kasi mahirap maging top of the news when it comes to these things, unless there's like a rocket launch, or unless like we finally send something else up in orbit, like a new satellite, or eventually if and when we do send an astronaut, a Filipino, to space, that's going to be top of the news. But like the progress in space, despite it being very cool and very, sparkly, the progress is continuous, and sometimes maliliit yung progress, and it's kind of difficult to do that, to express that, and to tell the public about these kinds of things. Because what may be interesting to the field of science may not generally be like interesting, or would touch or makuha yung kilite ng public or ng audience, kasi some random advancement in ano ba, for a random example, electronics, ganyan, na we're developing these things faster, pero these like satellites faster, pero hindi naman siya easily, it doesn't automatically translate to, okay, so what does it have to do with like the regular Filipino, na parang mabilis nga tayo nagpo-produce ng satellites, pero ano yung effect niya sa akin as somebody na I worry about where I'm going to get my next meal, parang ganun. So
Yeah.
that's the biggest challenge, actually, kasi it's big ticket, big dreams. Kasi nga, the space is the limit, pero it doesn't necessarily feel relevant all of the time. So okay.
Okay. So yeah, you've addressed a lot of the yung similar thoughts ko about communicating space science, no? Pero maybe tell us a little bit about some of the surprising naman or unexpected things that you've learned or experienced while working there at the agency. I'm sure before you started, may mga expectations ka or maybe some siguro may misconceptions din. And then ano yung mga nagbago na parang pleasant, maybe not so pleasant, na surprising things when you were actually there?
Okay. So, I think, like most people, when I used to think of space, it's really sending people to space, like
Yeah.
astronauts or space colonies, those kinds of things. And then eventually, when you get entrenched in the projects, you like gumagawa ka na ng mga budget, parang you realize that, oh, there's a lot of overhead for these kinds of things. Sending a person to space is not only just expensive. It also takes a lot of planning, and it might take even years of planning just to do that, because sending a satellite to space, whether it's like a one unit satellite na ilang grams lang, takes at least like 2 years from design phase to yung mga review papunta sa pagpadala doon sa launching na partner and then getting it to space, that's already a huge timeline. And that's a lot of money invested already. And it takes a lot of people. So hindi, parang ano, I didn't really expect how much time, effort, and resources go into these kinds of things. Like the overhead was like, amazingly, wow, ganito pala yung investment na kailangan, even just to like send, you know, one small satellite up in space. So that's one interesting thing. But the other interesting thing that I found is that not all space agencies, not all countries have space agencies. Even yung, there's other countries that have space agencies that were launched even after PhilSA. So even iba-iba yung target ng mga different space agencies. So some of them really do invest in sending satellites. Some of them really invest in researching in space or researching in the ISS or space shuttles up in space. And then some really take part in the whole race of getting people up there. So it varies talaga per country. And I think what we do here in the Philippines is that we try to make use of space resources, or at least what we do is we try to orient our resources to make use of space resources for different applications. Mayroon tayong tinatawag ng upstream, downstream space. Upstream, in essence, is just the things that we send up there. So that's satellites, rockets, etc. And then downstream, that's all of the things that we get from space, for example, data. So it's part of this whole space data, space value chain, wherein we get, as a developing country, we get a lot of benefits mostly from the downstream side of things kasi mas tangible yung mga effects niya. So for example, the data that we get from space, we could generate, let's say, mga maps that we could use for agriculture and food security, or we can use them for national security. Most of it is really data that we could use for decision making. But that's not to discount the other part, which is yung upstream, which is, I think, yun yung mas exciting para sa iba kasi it's sending things up there, and it's what people want to do, like rocket science essentially, or satellite engineering, or being an astronaut. So that's like the more visible, mas grand siya when it happens. But the downstream is more of what we also expect to receive and expect to get more impact out of. So I guess the agency is trying to, you know, balance it all out, try to invest in which part of the value chain. And yeah. Okay, I rambled. I'm so sorry.
No, that's great. And actually, ano nga eh, you touched upon yung other question ko sana, which is about some of the little ways, no, that space science benefits the average person. Kasi tama ka in that a big part of yung perception natin ng public about space in general is formed by what we need right now, and comparing that to the lofty idea of outer space and all of the things that we can't reach. And that we don't necessarily think of as things that affect us down here. Pero tama kayo in terms of traffic. And like, for example, recently there's one of the stories that we featured on Flip Science is the collaboration, the use of space technology basically to improve yung mangrove planting. Something as grounded something so connected to the environment, to environment conservation as that, you know, my applications to space science, and of course food technology, ganyan. But siguro speaking as a personal opinion mo, why do people like find space so fascinating? What about space? What about space fascinates you? And siguro by association, the general public maybe. What is it about space?
This is a personal opinion, and this is not like, I don't have the literature for this, so I have to preface that. Wala akong literature on this, but I think a lot of people are very interested in space because it represents something that we cannot immediately see, but it's something out there that we aspire for. So kung mapapansin mo, a lot of media, a lot of media text that portrays space, but that's more of like a dystopian future. It's more of a utopian type future, na parang we're going forward towards like economic progress or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think in general, space is just cool because a lot of science is involved, and a lot of imagination is also involved. Kasi I've interviewed a lot of people also coming in to the agency. Kasi nga, I was one of the first people. And then dalawa lang yung napansin ko na pag tinanong mo sa why do you want to join the Philippine Space Agency? It's either they wanted to be an astronaut as a kid or they watched a lot of Gundam as a kid. So parang, oh, okay, interesting. Na parang not even a lot of the engineers do mention that they watched a lot of Gundam as a kid. So parang nag-build sila ng model kits, tapos parang eventually nagustuhan nila mag, mag-build in general. But then it's not just specific to them, even those who are science adjacent fields or yung mga allied fields, like parang kaming mga business development people dito, meron din mga tinatawag na abogadong pangkalawakan or those who do space law. They also have at least an interest in space kasi nga it's both science and imagination, and parang they think na it's something that goes beyond what we see. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it does. It does. Actually, I know, yun nga, nung nabanggit mo yung space law, naalala ko yung conversation namin ni Dr. Cesar about that, na
Yes,
parang
yes, yes.
that's one like exciting area, kasi because there really isn't much precedent for it. Parang like what like hindi lang siya territorial disputes or something, but parang hindi pong kahit yung fascinating idea of what happens if someone murders someone in space or ano, sobrang grim eh, no? Pero parang hindi, sorry, medyo ganun ako dahil detective, I like detective and mystery stuff, and yun yung naisip ko, parang what if a crime is committed in space, paano yung
Are you
legislation of, di
liable?
ba, o sino yung, di ba? So and hindi naman kailangan ganun ka-grim, pero like things like resource management, allocation, ganyan, who gets to go where first. No, what happens if may aksidente dito? Like so many things. Who owns this airspace? Can this part of space even be owned? Ganun bang usapan? And if someone makes it to Mars, can that person claim Mars or that part of Mars as their own?
And they own property, real estate in Mars.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess yun nga, tama ka na a big part of it is you know, hindi natin siya abot eh. Hindi natin siya kita eh. Pero alam nating, well, you know, unless conspiracy theorist ka, alam nating nandyan siya. Alam nating may, ano, NASA didn't fake the moon landing, stuff like that. Oh.
And
And,
yes,
you
I
know,
agree.
yeah. But that leads me to my next question, no? Mentioning yung misinformation, conspiracy theories, fake news, the moon landing being fake, and all of that falling under siguro the bigger umbrella of communicating space science or science communication in general. Earlier, you mentioned that you considered pursuing or are currently pursuing like additional studies, no, in science communication, and you've had experience as a science communicator. So tell us a little bit about that and where you stand right now in that area, in that field.
Okay, so diba, I started out as a project science research specialist, and then eventually the tasks that were relegated to me or that we found that I was well more attuned to were the communication aspect of it, so writing, reporting, etc. And then one of the primary reasons why I wanted to pursue science communication was I found that even amongst scientists of different fields, they found challenges to express kung ano yung certain things from their field to another field. So what more if it's somebody who is not from a scientific field or a scientific background, or does not have the same kind of experience as them? So parang it was more of like a lived experience now. Oh, physicists tend to see things this way, and this is why they report things this way. Whereas, ito namang si geodetic engineer tend to see these things because they're trained on certain aspects. So you kind of see where people are coming from. And I was in the middle of that because I had to interface between the project, between the science to stakeholders. and also sometimes to the public. Because when you put out press releases or you put out articles, you put out social media posts, you need to be able to do it to not only just to inform, but also to, get them interested in the topic. So dun ako nagsimula. And then eventually I kind of learned that there are courses in science communication. There are entire programs dedicated to science communication. I did apply to some of them, but then the pandemic happened, and then I ended up doing a master's in communication, and I wanted to have a focus on science communication as well. Yun din yung sinabi ko dun sa essay ko sa entrance exam, and then parang it eventually became like I have to do this every day. I don't want to study it right now, so I kind of like made my thesis right now a little bit more grounded. But interestingly, it's still on the geeky spectrum, quote unquote. So I think one of the things that people don't realize, or people kind of just assume, is that people who do space things are nerdy or geeky, and that's kind of true. Makikita mo talaga dito sa PhilSA na if you're not a nerd, you're probably a geek. Like if you're not like a super science math person, you probably have like interests that are kind of geeky. So that's what kind of happened to my trajectory. Because it's not like I'm not interested in science communication. I kind of wanted like a little break from that. And then I realized that a lot of people are also interested in science communication. So I've been seeing, like, for you, for example, like we've talked about this at length many times throughout your career. And then we've seen that there are a lot of student groups, or even like groups na hindi naman sila like related in their profession, but they do a lot of work. They put up Facebook pages, to just like share some of them fun facts or tidbits about science, and some of them they actually like do advocacy work related to science. And I think I'm pretty sure Flip Science also shares posts from these groups, because it's very interesting, and that's something that I really enjoyed finding out, because I didn't want to feel like I'm part of a very small group of people interested in science communication. I just was very well, I was happy to see na okay, it's not just the science folks who want to do science communication, it's also people who are interested in science. And what I found out is that most of the science communication people that I've come across are either scientists by profession or had a little bit of science training in their undergraduate kung hindi undergraduate, parang nag-master sila or something, and then shifted into something else. So marami akong kilalang hybrid, kumbaga, na hybrid na may background sila in science, they're trained in science, they're trained in STEM, but they're very inclined in what you might call humanities or social sciences, or itong mga communication nga na magaling sila mag-drawing, magaling sila magsulat, magaling sila magsalita. So that's what I found navigating through, this crowd of science communicators and that I encounter every day.
Okay, listening to you, like yung that, especially that last part, made me think about my own parang journey. And something na hindi ko, I actually don't think about that a lot, pero oo nga ano. Kasi when I got into UP, I started sa Comsci, computer science, so the T in STEM or STEAM. And my even before that, I had always been like invested in science. Medyo talagang interest ko siya. I wanted to make games. Yun yung reason kung bakit ako nag-comsci. But also yung when you enter a course like that, maganda nga yung foundation. Shouldn't be surprising. Maganda yung foundation ng science and technology and math education mo. But I kind of left. I left 2 years in kasi parang it was a lot of math. And I don't hate math. I enjoy math, pero parang ang layo na nitong ginagawa ko sa gusto kong gawin na maging video game programmer. Ganun ka-limited yung idea ko of what Comsci was back then. Siyempre ngayon iba, medyo nag-evolve na yung perspective ko. And maybe if it were me right now taking that course back then, hindi ako umalis. Pero that's ano. Pero ang point is from Comsci, 2 years in Comsci with some training in the sciences, I shifted to the mass comm, wherein I took up communication research, which also involves a lot of math. So I don't know really why I did that. Pero more importantly, it gave me a sort of background, a stronger background in marketing and generally talking to people and understanding what they like and don't like. So tama kay, combining those disciplines, I would say that did help me become the science communicator that I am today. Skills that I developed dun sa dalawang sa cross-disciplinary experiences ko in college did factor in sa kung anong ginagawa ko ngayon. So, tama ka nga dyan. And you also mentioned yung either nerd ka or geek ka, meron ka talagang, may something about being a nerd. Well, there's a difference between being a nerd and being a geek, of course. Yung being so invested in pop culture or being invested really in science, that sort of like, at some point, those paths merge and nagiging science is interesting or this related topic to science is interesting. Medyo ano naman, medyo konting magda-divert tayo ng konti. You've been building a lot of Gundam kits recently. I've noticed.
Even three Gundam kits, but thank you.
Ayun, oo. And naalala ko yung kanyang nalabanggit mo nga na karamihan ng mga nakatrabaho mo, they kind of like Gundam. So, this is probably maybe a question that answers itself, pero I'll ask it anyway. Would you say na yung interest mo in science, it really helped cultivate that geeky side of you? Kasi we also met because of our like common geeky interests. And
Yes.
I believe yung nag-introduce sa atin was may yung si TJ, former
Yes.
editor ng GMA News SciTech section. So
Who's my
talagang
editor?
may yeah, yun nga eh. And you've written for GMA din, yung science and technology articles. So talagang may effect ba yung pagiging science inclined or interested in science sa pagiging geek? Kasi yung kanina na establish natin na kung medyo geek ka, mapupunta ka sa science. But do you think the other way around it also works that way?
I think well, correlation does not imply causation. I'm
Yes.
very careful about my words on these kinds of things because this is not a scientific paper, but I think there is a link talaga. Because if you're interested in science, there is a tendency na yung natural mo na attitude is that you're very curious about the world. And science is all about exploration, trying to learn things, and trying to build on that body of knowledge. So if you're science inclined, there is a tendency for you to maybe focus or hyper focus on certain topics that you're interested in. And then that also translates, that might also translate to something in, in the geek sphere. So if you're like into science, parang there's a tendency na if you get if nakuha ng, let's say, the whole Star Wars IP, yung ano mo, yung kiliti mo, you might be very interested in getting to know more about the ships there or like the culture there, and then you hyper focus on that, and then you try to learn more about it, and then eventually you have this like encyclopedia of knowledge in your head. So that's an example. I think also if you're into science, you're very interested in reading, and reading very broad shot about it. If you're interested in reading, there's a lot of knowledge that goes to you, and it's a very broad topic. Pero there's something there in everything that you read na kukuha talaga ng interest mo, and then you're going to see that, and then you're going to maybe obsess over it a little bit. So I guess yes, it's linked. There's probably studies on this. There's probably literature on this out there, but it's definitely linked na. If you're into sciences, there's a high tendency that you get involved in a sort of geekdom, and maybe vice versa as well. So in my case, the way you said that you used to be in comm sci and then you shifted into a comm res, which is stat heavy by the way, but I'm math and comm res. In my case, I was an industrial engineering, so I was there. I was an engineering student for quite some time, and then I shifted to management. Also, because it was a lot of math. There was a lot of math involved. I didn't also dislike math, but it was just too overwhelming. The parang, oh, this is going to be my daily life. And then I graduated from a management degree. And then when I started looking for jobs, I kind of like felt I missed it. I missed being part of, like the STEM field. So that's also where I started looking for jobs. And then I started being a technical assistant, writing assistant, and then eventually became a science research specialist, and then here now. So parang the interest in science, interest in space starts young. And maybe also that's why we have programs as well. At least sa PhilSA, we have programs. And, the education sector, we have this entire division called the Space Education and Scholarships Division, and that's the main focus of their job talaga, aside from handling the Ad Astra scholarships and other scholarships. Fancy na name, Ad Astra scholarship. It's a very fitting name for a space scholarship. They also handle, liaising with the Department of Education. Eventually, maybe we'll come to, eventually, siguro, there's going to be differences in the curriculum, maybe add a little bit more of space there. We don't know yet. That's more of a long-term goal. But yeah, that's we have that. We have an entire division focused on that. And I think that's also why our agency has been doing a lot of work then, dealing with kids. So one of our more notable, what I would say, na outputs is a children's book. We've actually produced a children's book on space treaties. It's kind of odd, no? So parang, why would a child be interested in space treaties? But I'm pretty sure there's going to be one kid out there who would read that, and eventually they would think that, I kind of want to be a space lawyer. I want to do space policy. So they may not be the next astronaut, but they would be doing things in space. I say they started out young. So, start them young.
Yeah, that's I agree. I agree. Oh, nga. And naisip ko nga kanina, naalala ko, there was a, I was randomly browsing the internet some years ago. I think ano pa eh, parang in the infancy of the MCU. So that long ago, mga early 2010s. And then I came across this this spreadsheet. Some guy put together a spreadsheet of Iron Man's armors. Yung armor suits ni Iron Man sa comics, comparing yung specs, no, yung capabilities, yung weight, yung firepower, ganyan, how much what it can do, what it can't do, ganyan, how it compares to other to his other armor. So parang that level of yung attention to detail about something that is completely made up, di ba? Because it's we're talking about the different armors of a guy who is basically like this fictional character na if you say that his armor can turn invisible, di ba?
I
It
believe
can because it's
it.
in fiction, pero also, there's at least some attempt to explain like a carbon rods, ganyan. Why is it that, for example, if he faces off against Magneto, why can't Magneto like just turn him into this into a ball of metal? Pero geeks have come up with the explanation na actually
Oh,
hindi
naturally.
the typical magnetic materials ang material ng suit ni Iron Man. So you see that attention to detail over something na hindi naman totoo na produkto ng imagination, and it does reflect, no, yung fascination natin with details, with understanding how things work. And some people do criticize yung parang bakit mo i-assess yung realism or yung pagiging scientifically sound ng Marvel movies when you've accepted that this is a talking raccoon with a gun. Ganyan. Pero for me, it's not so much yung over-fixating on what's realistic and what's not, because we're all not dumb. We all know naman that we're buying a ticket to a movie where these things have been scripted and made in CGI, and then people have come up with these ideas on screen na not necessarily reflective of real life. Pero yung fascination with understanding how things work, hindi mo maiaalis talaga yun eh. That's why we have workshop manuals about the Star Wars vehicles, no? And that's why if you put together, 'di ba, if you put together a Lego set.
Have Star Wars encyclopedias. It's like it has never been useful in my, daily
Of
life. Like it's
course.
very, very interesting to know that if this is a cross section of a lightsaber.
May crystal pala sa loob
The
ng
crystal.
lightsaber,
Yes.
and that's why iba-iba yung kulay niya. Hindi lang pala siya wala lang. Hindi lang pala siya blue equals good and red equals bad. Meron palang explanation doon. Di ba? Parang, so it's, yun nga, the fascination. So tama ka na you know, geeks do, in your experience, geeks and nerds pwedeng mapunta sa SciComm career. Pero also, kapag medyo interested sa science, may tendency nga na mag-hyperfixate. Ayan, hyperfixation. So, from all of the things we've talked about, siguro, I'd like to sort of like end this very entertaining discussion with maybe your vision or maybe hopes for the future, no, of the Philippines in terms of space science. Let's put a time frame, like maybe 10 years in. Where do you see the Philippines in terms of not just space exploration, but space science in general? Can tell us, paint that picture for us.
Okay. So again, I would quash some dreams right now, but I would think that we might have an astronaut already by that time. Yes, it is. I don't know. I mean, the goal for a lot of people, and I think the goal, more of like the vision for a lot of people, is that we'd finally see our own astronauts in space, or that we'd see our own people, you know, working on the ISS. I think in 10 years, I'd like to think that space science in the Philippines would be a little bit more mainstream, wherein we could have, you know, cube satellite building, hindi lang siya for master's degree students, but maybe we could incorporate that in the college curriculum of some programs, maybe even get them started even younger, wherein we've done electronics and robotics for high school students. What if we could bring satellite development to high school students as well? Yung tipong pwede din silang, kasi diba may mga robot competitions,
yeah,
robotics competitions, and even robot competitions, yung nagpa-battle robots. What if during, you know, high school, even elementary, pwede na silang gumawa ng mga, you know, their own cube satellites or their own satellites. Maybe we could do that. In 10 years, that's possible. We're in, ano ba? Aside from satellites that we have now, we could have launched more satellites, that we have a constellation of satellites. So if we have a constellation of satellites, mas madami tayong coverage of the entire Philippines at any point in time. Kasi ngayon, we rely on revisit periods of other satellites. We can only take photos, we could only take images when these satellites pass over us. So if we have a constellation of satellites that we control, that the Philippines owns, that the Philippines can task, you know, it's easier for us to get images even during disasters. So that's something that I want to happen in 10 years. If hindi tayo yung magbuild doon, at the very least, we could, you know, partner with other countries wherein they could send our payloads up on their satellites. So more of our payloads on other satellites. Anyway, number one is bring satellite development to children. Para siyang naging ano, parang platforma ng isang politician.
Politician. Oo nga, parang kakandidato eh.
Oo nga eh. Yeah, number one is bring satellite development to the schools. Number two is probably a satellite constellation. Number three, yeah, more of our payloads in space. And then, ano pa ba? Probably, sige, let's hope for a Filipino astronaut. Like somebody on the ISS or whatever space station that will be there in 10 years' time. Kasi that's also one thing I learned about the ISS. It's not just sending people there. They do a lot of experiments on the ISS, and it's a very broad like type of experimentation. Because one of the things, so I'm sorry, I'm geeking out over this, one of the things that we just recently did was we received seeds that were exposed to hypergravity up in the ISS. So these seeds were turned over to us here in the Philippines, and then we also turned it over to high school students, and then they could do their own experiments on that. So maybe if not sending Filipinos to space, at the very least we could have more experiments that we could do in space. So yeah, that's what I hope 10 years from now. And maybe more facilities wherein we could test, you know, hypergravity here on Earth. But that's a little bit expensive. So, you know, that's why we have to get it out there that we have a space agency, and that we have to partner with other space agencies in other countries, so that we could like do this together, because space is for everyone.
Very wonderful. Yeah, space is for everyone. Let's revisit this conversation in 10 years and see how much of that actually came through. Sana, maganda yun, realistically, I also don't think naman na, like, it's fun to think about, first Filipino astronaut. Pero medyo sa akin personally, hindi rin siya ganun kataas sa priority list ko in terms of what I would want to see for space science. Kasi parang, more of like, I think yung practical, mas ma-appreciate ng tao yung space science in general if not only yung sa practical applications but also if sort of like revolves around the things that fascinate us or yung interesting new things that we can learn kagaya nga nung something like sending seeds to space or experiments in space, and that's always it's always fun to see what would happen in this unknown environment if we do the things na parang very normal lang sa atin dito sa Earth. So yeah, I hope that the things that you've said do come true in 10 years. And yeah, we'll revisit this. Oh yeah, well, you have one more. Oh, sige.
I have one more. Okay, one of the parang nasa vision kasi ng agency is to have a robust, sorry, taga lang. Papadigo muna ako para lang hindi ako misquote. Taga lang. Ayan. The mission kasi is that we will promote and sustain a robust Philippine space ecosystem that adds and creates value in space for and from Filipinos and for the world. So what I'm also hoping then in 10 years is not just the things that I said, but also we'd have a space industry already or space adjacent industries, and that would include siguro yung mga manufacturing or yung mga launch pads, those kinds of things. Kasi, di ba I mentioned na we collaborate with different space agencies, different countries. Kasi a lot of the resources are not yet here in the Philippines. A lot of the industries that are used for developing itong space industry, wala pa sa Philippines. So I'm hoping siguro in 10 years, we have manufacturers of commercial off-the-shelf mga components itong mga satellites or basically just more space-adjacent industries. Kasi that would mean more jobs and that would mean, these engineers that we're training that are interested in space, that these future, space-adjacent or space science and researchers, they'd have somewhere to go to after they graduate college. So they'd have somewhere to pour their interest in science and space into. Now, not just because maybe not everybody could like build the satellites themselves, or not everybody could be the astronaut or do these experiments up in the ISS. Pero there's also other space-related mga activities and industries that can be built. And I'm hoping that in 10 years, meron na tayong ganun dito sa Pilipinas. Yun lang.
Here's hoping. And yun nga, magandang, very good first step nga na meron na tayong space agency. And alam, yun nga, like I said kanina, I was there to see yung, or at least a big, I wasn't there at the very beginning, pero I was there to see a lot of that very difficult and I would say, sabi nga ni Dr. Sese, blood, sweat, and tears, yung journey towards getting that done. And yeah, the future is exciting. And I hope that we all get to see it and get to appreciate space science a little more in the years to come. Like the general public gets to see a bit more of what space science can do for the Philippines. Not just now, but in for generations to come. So yeah, thank you for taking the time. I know your schedule is busy, PR person of space agency and all. Your schedule is busy, so thank you for taking the time to catch up. And this was fun. I learned a lot. I'm sure yung listeners, marami ding natutunan from everything you've shared. And I hope you had fun here on the podcast too.
Yeah, I did. So to our listeners, you can follow us on
Oh yeah.
social media. We're at Phil Space Agency everywhere. So that's Facebook, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn even, and we're also on YouTube. So most of our content is really on Facebook right now, but we might put up more things on the others. Because there's a lot that we're working on, but there's a lot more to put out there. So yes, please follow us. And if you want to ask us any questions, or just check our website. It's philsa.gov.ph, and we have email addresses there for every type of inquiry. So, again.
Excellent. Yeah, and so make sure to follow the Space Agency, the Philippine Space Agency, on those social media platforms. And ayun nga, they're more than willing to ask yung quest to answer your questions. Wag niyo na lang tanongin kung kailan magpapadala ng astronaut. Siguro wag na lang ganun. Pero yun. Again, thank you so much. Have a great day and talk to you again soon.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Ask Theory. Stay curious.